Thank you, Zion's Trust. In Jesus' name we press on. That's a good message for this Sabbath morning. You know, I don't like shopping for clothes for myself. As a matter of fact, I would still have my suits of 20 years ago if it weren't for the fact that the material was defective and they all shrunk. So I find myself trying on other suits because I really don't like shopping for myself. I could go with my wife shopping with her, you know, if it's pre-planned and I get all psyched up and I just require a few things, is that she could go on shopping for a whole day, but I need to eat around 12. So if she feeds me, I could go on another 4 hours. So it's a good thing. But shopping, I don't know, it's not, you know, I don't get that urge to call some of you guys and say, hey, let's go to the mall and just go try pants. Let's go try some caps and socks and things. I don't get that urge. As a matter of fact, I'm reading the fact that my Levi's 501s that I've had for 10 years, they have gone from casual dress jeans to work jeans, which means I have to go find a new pair. Which means I have to go try them on. And I don't like to do that. But I'm going to have to do that. Because you see, most of my casual pants and some dress pants are also, right now they're work pants. Because I think, oh, I could paint a little bit without getting anything on them. Oops. Work pants. Oops. This and that. You know, we try to just do things around the house. Oh, I can't change. I just got to do a little touch up and then. Oh, new tie. Throw that one away. I don't like shopping. I don't. However, I understand you ladies, because when I go to an electronics store shop, you know, I push buttons and try cameras, and I could be there 4 or 5 hours. I don't buy anything, but it was just fun. So I sort of get it, and, you know, I understand a little bit. But the thing, why am I bringing this? Why do I mention this? It's because when I go try on clothing, it's because I'm going to buy something. I do not go out and try clothing just because I want to try it on. In ancient times, when soldiers were being fitted for their armor, it wasn't because they were being fitted just for the fun of it. They did not go to the local mall there and just go, hey guys, let's go and just try helmets. Maybe we'll find a new color and see how good they look on us. No, they didn't do that. They were getting fitted for war. If Revelation 12:17 is correct, and if you have your Bibles, please open your Bibles to Revelation 12:17. If Revelation 12:17 is correct, then brothers and sisters, we are at war. Revelation 12, 17, and the dragon was enraged with the woman. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The dragon was enraged with the church, and he went to make war with the members of that church, those who keep the commandments of Jesus Christ. There's a war going on. And not just any war, it's a major war. And you and I, when you accept Jesus Christ, you and I were fitted for armor. Now, you have the choice of wearing that armor or not. You have a choice. What you don't have a choice in is that whether you want to be in the war or not. The war is going on. The choice is whether you want to put the armor on or not. And the scripture that was read is Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10. Finally, my brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord. Sort of goes with the theme of this song, huh? Press in Jesus' name, we press on. Be strong in the Lord with the power of his might. Put on the what? The whole armor of God. Why? Yeah, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles, against the tricks, against the snares that the devil has for you. Put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, notice that it says it again. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So we're in a war. We are in a war. There are two main captains, Jesus Christ and the devil, the serpent. And they both have goals. Christ wants you to be with him throughout eternity. That is Christ's goal. The devil, he has a goal too. He doesn't want to be in the lake of fire just by himself. That's not fun. He wants to take as many of us with him too. And he will do anything it takes to get you there. Anything and everything. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Job. Job I have decided that maybe for a couple of Sabbaths, we'll be going through the book of Job, analyzing and understanding, because I believe there are certain things in here that are applicable to all of us today. Job chapter 1. Verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. Let me reread this, but I need your help. Now, I want everybody to look at me for a minute here. When I point, would you all say your name? You don't have to shout it or scream it. When I point, you say your name. Let's try that. That was verdict. It was all right, but the back there, they got a little bit late start over there, back there. Let's try again. Your name, okay? All right. So let me reread this. And when I point, you say your name. There was a person in the Rogue Valley whose name was, and this person was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. Are you that person? Can God look down on us and say, that pastor right there, he's blameless. Blameless. He is upright. He fears God and runs away from evil. That Valley View member right there, yes, he is a person that fears God, that shuns evil, upright. Apparently, God thought that about Job. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Now, in those days, 7 sons, 3 daughters, Job was very, very blessed. Because when the baby was born, it was male, yay! Female, woo! I'm sorry, ladies, but that's the way it was. That man, Job, could have had 12 daughters, and if no sons, he'd think he'd be cursed. And I don't understand the mentality because, you know, it takes a man and a woman to create a child, so women are very important. He had 10 children. And also, it says, verse 3, his possessions. And here are his possessions. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, male donkeys, I guess, didn't care, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. So I started thinking, I wonder how much he was worth in our time right now, just by what he had. So I went in the internet, did the research. Yeah. We're glad we have Google search now. And I put in how much does a sheep cost, camels, ox, all of that. And I went, you know, I finally found out that sheep, you could pay anywhere from free to $250 for a sheep. So I went with the highest because I assumed that Job always wanted the best. So sheep at $250, 7,000, that's $1,750,000. Camels, depending on their condition, if they're not dying, the teeth and all that, anywhere between $300 and $1,500 a camel. If you want one that's just about ready to die, you'll pay $299 on sale. Camels, okay, he had 3,000 times 1,000, that's $3 million. Oxen, he had 500 of them. Okay, so 500, I couldn't find any oxen, so I put bull. And the bull was between $3,000 and $5,000. I went, times, 500 at $2 million. Because an oxen were teams. So instead of 500, that's 1,000. But then I realized that I did a little bit more research that an oxen is really a eunuch bull. So I guess we take some of that money out. They're not worth as much. And then the female donkeys, I was reading that if there were males, there was this, female donkeys are more expensive. About $400. So $400 times 500, that's $200,000. So add it all up. He had 11,000 animals. The total, it came out to $6,950,000. I mean, I don't know about you, but $6,950,000 today, that's a lot of money. $6,950,000 back then was a lot of money. And notice, it did not include everything else he owned. We don't know how many houses or tents he had. We don't know what the real estate he had and other things that, he might have had. We do know one thing according to the scriptures. It says that so that this man was the greatest of all the people in the East. Just for my entertainment, I went and I checked, who are the billionaires in our world? 237 of them. The first one on the list, of course, is Bill Gates. He's worth $59 billion. And the poor billionaire, the one number 237, some person that if I mentioned the name, you wouldn't even know, he only has $1.6 billion. Poor guy. And the youngest billionaire is around 45 or 48, somewhere around there. He's younger than I am. He made his first billion before I did. But that's okay. My father is a billionaire too. And he has a lot prepared for all of us. So it was, it says, verse 4, and his sons would go and feast in their houses. So 7 sons went and feast in their home. Apparently, the feasting in those days was something considered, it's not bad to feast, but in this context, I'm assuming that maybe the sons of Job were not following the ways of the Lord. Sometimes money and power has a way of doing that. His sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his own appointed day. And they would invite the sisters, the three sisters, to eat and drink with them. It sounds like partying all the time. Hey, let's have a party, sisters. Come over to my house this time. Let's just have a party for a week. What's the reason? I don't know. Cuatro de Mayo, something. And then we'll have another one for Cinco de Mayo. They just wanted to have parties. And look at verse 5. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. So how many burnt offerings every morning did Job do or make? How many? 10. 10 burnt offerings. Well, he had enough sheep to do that. Why did he do this? Listen to this. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus, Job did regularly. How many of us parents this morning, we got down on our knees and we placed our children in the hands of God? How many of us got down on our knees and said, Lord, there is a war going on and Satan is targeting our children. Satan is targeting our grandchildren. Satan is targeting them with all kinds of things. How many of us got down on our knees and said, Lord, protect my child. I give them to you this morning so that you could put a hedge around them so the devil would not snare them. And Job did this regularly. And he didn't do this just because it was Sabbath. Okay, Lord, I'll put my children in your care. And the rest of the week, he didn't do anything about it. Job did this on a regular basis. And he did this just in case my children cursed God while they were feasting, while they were enjoying themselves. Satan is out to get the youth, the children, the young adults. He's out to get us. Job had his armor on. And when we put the armor on, there will be attacks. So you're saying, well, let's rationalize this. Let's do a little bit of thinking about this, Pastor. If I have the armor on, he'll attack me. So I'll take it off. No, don't do that. Because the blow that he'll give you will hurt more without the armor. I could assure you that. If you get hit in the head, you know, football players learned this the hard way. They used to play football with no helmets until they noticed something, that there were a lot of cracked heads on the field. They said, maybe it'd be a good idea to put helmets on. And they did. But they forgot to put that bar that goes across the helmet. And then they started realizing, research shows that every game there's somebody with a bloody nose. Oh, maybe we should. Let me assure you this. The blow that Satan can give you will hurt even more if you're not wearing your helmet of salvation. Verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and also who came among them? Satan came among them. The serpent, the devil, the one that's always attacking you, he came along. And the Lord said to Satan, where do you come? Where have you been? And Satan said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. In other words, I've been scouting the earth, seeing, watching, really praying, and not praying P-R-A-Y, but P-R-E-Y. Praying to see whom I may devour. Huh? And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant? Oh, got you that time. You fell asleep. I knew some of you were just looking at me like, when I point, you say your name. Let's try that again. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant? That there's none like him or her on the earth, a blameless and upright person who fears God and shuns evil. Again, could that be said of us today? Could God, you know, Satan would come to him and say, yeah, where have you been? Oh, I've been going around here at Rogue Valley Mall and going to, you know, Taco Bell there and there. Just walking around all the valley. Oh, is that so? Have you considered my servant? This person is blameless. He's upright. This person, I mean, when evil comes, they run away from it. And they fear God. Have you considered them? Have you seen them? I'm very proud of them. So Satan, verse 9, answered the Lord and said this. Does Job fear God for nothing? Does fear God for nothing? Look at, you made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. You know, Job was a very, very rich man. If we were to put Job and compare to the people here today that are billionaires, the Bill Gates, and then there are three main ones, $59 billion, $32 billion. I mean, if we were to compare them, Job would be up there with Bill Gates and everybody else. Because the Bible says he was the greatest in of all the people in the East. Let me tell you something. There is nothing wrong with being rich. A rich person in the hands of the Lord can do mighty works for God. Now there is a problem. Sometimes rich people want to have more. But there is that same problem also that poor Christians want to be rich. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says this, be content with what you have. Now, does that mean that we can't strive to do better? No, it doesn't. Because God's plan was always that we would be the head in every aspect of life. Abraham, was he rich or poor? Joseph, was he rich or poor? Noah, was he rich or poor? He was a survivor, but he had enough money to make a big boat, didn't he? I think he had money. We go down the list of some of the major people that God used. They had money. They were rich. I've been in homes. I was in a home of a rich person. The home was 17,000 square feet. Indoor pool. I mean, it looked like a museum inside. You're walking around, don't touch. You got to walk around with those, you know, things that you gave out. Put them behind you and don't touch anything. Yeah. But there are rich people that really don't care about being rich. It's just they're rich because the Lord keeps blessing them. It's, Pastor, I give, and the more I give, the more the Lord gives. Well, praise the Lord. Job was a very rich man. And the devil said, he's serving you because look, that nice home, all the nice homes he has, you have protected him, all his children, you protect him. Everything he does, it just comes out the right way. I mean, and then he said, but stretch out your hand. Verse 11, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. That's what Satan. Oh yeah, we're prospering. Life is good, and yeah, because you know you protect them. I dare to say that being a Christian is easier when things are going well. Yeah, it's easy to be a Christian when things are going well. You're making your home payments. The cars are being paid or paid off. I mean, you have food on the refrigerator, extra in the garage just in case. You know, everything's going well. It's good to be a Christian, and it's all right to be a Christian. It's easy. But start getting behind in your payments, mortgage payments. Start realizing that, okay, do we pay the school this month or do we pay the mortgage this month? And then it starts beginning to be a little tough to be a Christian, doesn't it? Even in the simplest things that we sometimes do and sometimes happen to us, it's hard to be a Christian. People that find themselves in the garage just building, la 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 la, whack! They hit the thumb instead of the nail with that nice heavy hammer. Now, it's happened to me, and I know it's happened to some of you. When you hit your thumb, your whole body hurts. You're not thinking. You're screaming or trying to scream. There's no sound coming out of your mouth. But sometimes, in even that little happening, some people, when they open their mouth, it's not a good thing what comes out. Christian was put in the background. Old person came to the foreground, and words come out that have not been heard for a long time. Yeah, count to 10. Sometimes being a Christian is easy when things are going well. But what about when things are not going well? And this is what Satan's challenge was to God. Because God has said, have you seen? Have you considered? Job? I'm proud of that man. Blameless, upright. When evil comes around, he runs away from it. He fears God. Then Satan throws out the challenge. Verse 12. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. The next two Sabbaths, maybe three, we will continue with the story of Job. And you will see that the applications, that the places that he attacked are places today, things today that he's still attacking. And those are things that when he does attack, those are things that hurt. And when he does attack, if we're not wearing the armor, if we're not holding on to Jesus Christ, you will fall. We need to wear the armor, the whole armor, to be able to stand when the devil throws out those fiery darts at you. Let's turn to your in your hymnals to number 522. 522, we will sing all stanzas. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand.
522.
Will you please stand?
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. My anchor holds within the veil. he shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, glad in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we know that the devil is out to devour anyone, any follower of Jesus Christ. And I pray for the congregation this morning. I pray for myself that you may help us at all times to always wear the whole armor of God. Because I know the devil is out. He's going to try to discourage us in many different ways. And as we continue to study the life of Job, I pray that your Holy Spirit may help us to understand that we can be victorious in Jesus Christ. Be with us now throughout the rest of the Sabbath. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.